One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Be Here for a While. I had so much fun meeting you guys at our live podcast on Thursday. That was so, so cool. Thank you so much for coming. I can't even tell you how amazing that was to meet you guys. I felt like you were my friends for a long time, and now I really feel super close to you now that I've met at least some of you, 60 of you. We're going to keep doing those, and so I will keep meeting more of you, and it was just such a blast, and I'm so grateful and thankful that you all came out. Also, and just thank you for listening and rating the podcast 5 stars and leaving reviews on iTunes. It means so much, and it helps to keep this going. So I have a very, very, very special guest today. You guys are going to love him. He's a hilarious comedian and actor. He's worked on E!, MTV. He's also like really handsome, unfortunately gay for me, but you guys are going to love him. Justin Martindale.
Yay.
Thanks for doing this.
Yes, I'm extremely gay for you.
you're gay for me. Yeah, I said it wrong. Listen, again, it's 12:09 p.m. Yeah. on a Saturday. We're already having a cocktail.
Yeah. It's Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
The kickoff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The kickoff was months ago for me. It's just been going strong.
The beginning
strong.
Of the spiral.
Yeah. It's just been going strong. There's mm-hmm. no spiral. I mean, I think it's...
Oh, I love a good spiral.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've had no meltdowns yet.
Well, yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. The weekend is young.
Yeah. I don't really get meltdown-y drunk. I just sort of... I'm like, I just go to bed after a while. It's just like, Rachel should go to bed.
Yeah.
I just
that's
get tired.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Because some people don't do that.
And
some
then
people
they,
are just like, let's just keep going.
I get really tired. I'm like an old person.
Mm-hmm. That's good though. Not being an old person, but like.
Yeah.
But like,
because then you eventually die and like,
right,
that sucks.
Right.
But,
and that's just the inevitable. But yeah. Like, but actually just being like, you know what? I'm just tired.
Yeah.
Just want to go to bed.
Always.
You know you're gonna. You know what you're going to feel like in the morning. Just get a good start.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm able to drink every day, because I put myself to bed at the right time. I get a solid 9 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
That's a lot of sleep. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh, I could just keep doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just things are good.
Drink some water in somewhere around there.
Yeah, I do. And it's great.
It's soda water, but it's still water.
Sometimes I have regular water there. I've had half a bottle of regular water.
I know. I brought over Zico, sponsored by Zico,
yeah.
pineapple flavored coconut water, and we were having little cocktails, and I was like, you know what, this would
add
be a good
and
mixer
and actually
too.
It's very good.
Uh-huh. Let's hydrate it while we dehydrate.
It's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen La La Land?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm white, yeah.
Well, I had not seen it because I hate musicals.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't understand. I mean, this is probably you're not going to relate to this. I assume
I probably
you love
will.
Them.
I kind of don't like
really?
Musicals.
Oh, thank
I
God.
Know.
That makes me love you.
I know. Like, I get,
just
I
like, just, you can just tell me what you're feeling. You don't need to sing it. You
I'm a street
to,
gay. You know, yeah, like, I'm like a little,
you're hard.
Yeah, just like,
yeah, you're a little rough around the edges.
Yeah. I'm just,
you're
I
just
don't,
like a moody one.
Yeah. I hate Rent. I hated Wicked.
Yeah.
Oh,
Wicked's the worst.
It's the
Remember
worst.
Remember that commercial that ran for forever?
Yeah. Oh, shut up. God, just hit her with a car already.
She's awful.
Ugh. And all my friends are like, oh my God, Elphaba speaks to me. I'm like, we're not
And
friends.
What is that fucking name, too?
Elphaba, yeah.
Oh my God.
God, I wonder how many like gay babies are running around named Elphaba. Probably a lot.
Probably a lot.
Like 5.
Yeah,
and they're all
least,
in like Connecticut
least.
Or something.
Or West Hollywood, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, I had not seen it because I hate musicals. Mm-hmm. And then I was on a flight to Europe and there was really nothing else to watch. So I did. And I ended up fucking loving it.
Yeah, it was good.
And so last night, me and my friends Stassi, Katie, and Kristen, we
oh,
all
Oh, I know
to...
those girls.
They would love you. I feel
I've
like.
Met them.
I know, but I feel like, I know you have, but I mean, like, I feel like they would love to, like, hang out with you.
I know. I've hung out with Stassi before, and I think I've yelled at Kristen.
What'd you yell at her for?
Being drunk. Wait, remember? I think that's where I met you, at the Comedy Store. And she was like in the front row and she's like, bah, bah, bah. And I was like, shut up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were like in the front row.
She was like heckling you or like not heckling. Oh, yeah.
She
was,
it was before she started doing stand up. Didn't she? Didn't
she doesn't do stand up.
Okay,
no, she.
Good. We're going to talk about that.
Okay. No, she. I wanted my comedy filmed for Vanderpump Rules, mm-hmm. and they don't really fucking care about me. So the only way that was going to happen was if I involved a main cast member, like Kristen, somehow in it. And she was already an actress. I mean, and so we decided to like write sketches because some, you know, for a way to involve her. And then we actually started sort of doing the show like a few times. And then eventually we wrote her like a monologue that she set up top. But no, she's never done stand up.
Okay.
We just, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, she's funny. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they did not. Oh, that you. I can't even tell you how angry I was every time they. The two times that they tried to air our comedy or did like a flashback to it, or and they never showed my stand up. And then they just showed like the shitty part of a sketch that was not even funny. I was so mad.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Hollywood, yeah. Am I right?
Yeah.
Anyways. So you're in Europe with them, right?
No. Okay. No. So no, we went to La La Land last night, like at the Hollywood Bowl. So they play the movie.
And play the music with the movie?
Like an orchestra plays. It was really cool.
That's kind of magical.
Yeah, and I felt like a real person. Like I liked things. Like I was like, this is actually really cool.
Yeah.
I cried even.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't do that. I was like, I have a soul.
I know.
There's something left in here.
I went to Texas last week to do shows. I was in Dallas, or actually Fort Worth, with Jessamay Peluso. And again, it was just like, I have a soul.
Isn't that nice?
It's so nice.
What made you feel like you had a soul?
Just people were nice, and it was just like courtesy and manners and thank you and you're very welcome and
well,
great job.
Well, I feel like that's more like them having a soul.
They have souls.
Yeah, yeah. You were just...
But it was kind of like a...
They were just being nice to you.
Like filling my soul tank up. You know, I was just like, oh, I was empty and now, oh.
What are you, Vicky Gumbelson or whatever her name is? Her love tank is full.
Yes. It was nice. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, it's always nice to, like, connect and be like, oh, yeah, there's...
Yeah.
Like, to push all the, like, bullshit aside and be like, I've got an audition and I've got to do this and I'm
going to do eight spots tonight.
I need likes on my Instagram and why is no one poking me on Facebook, you know? Which, let's just stop doing that.
Do people still?
I think so.
I didn't even know it was an option.
I think it is still.
Have you been poked?
I've been poked a lot. Oh, yeah. God. And it's always weird when like a relative does it because you're just like, I need to take a shower after this.
Yeah.
Like,
don't just poke me. Give me a call,
mom.
Maybe.
Yeah. Just call me. Don't poke me.
Your mom's never poked you, please.
My mom's poked me a couple
times.
Yeah.
But like parents don't know how to use social media. Like they don't get it. My mom will call me sometimes and be like, so this person left a nice comment and I would like to respond to it. How do I do it? And I have to like walk her through the steps. But I there's nothing I hate more than explaining technology to someone because I'm not even that great at it. And I'm like, okay, you put that symbol and like,
it's too
that.
Much now. I am honestly like falling out of it because it's like
but we like have to do it.
I know.
I like thought about it today. I sent my friend who like knows how to do graphics and stuff. I sent her a photo of me and I was like, can you please put like the cool like lettering over this photo so I can post my show dates? But it was like begrudgingly. I'm like, I know I have to do this.
I know. It is weird because it's like, because you have Instagram and now you have Snapchat and you have Instagram stories and now Instagram's fighting with Snapchat because they're trying to like do, it's like this new East Coast, West Coast feud,
really?
Like this social media feud.
Is someone going to get shot?
Well, Instagram has filters now, but they're like the B filters, like they're not. They're
Do they
trying
have like
to
the
be,
like the faces and stuff.
It's
though?
Like it's like a janky rabbit. It's like it's like the nose is over here and the ears are.
They
it's not.
Just stop,
it's not
yeah.
the same. And everything's a crown, you know, because we need more crown
flower
filters.
Crown.
Yeah,
oh,
flower
God.
Crowns and ice princess feathers and shit.
I never use those things. I
just
don't
laugh
go on Snapchat anymore.
I just look at people now and laugh because I know what they're doing because they have their phones in their faces and they're just like. You know,
it's
and they
so
do
embarrassing
that, like,
to
sign.
Do it in public.
Oh, it's so gross. You know what pisses me off?
Huh.
FaceTiming in public. That's my new thing.
Yes, that is really annoying. It took me for a second to realize what FaceTime was for
exactly.
some reason.
Like, yeah.
No, it's really rude, actually.
It's rude, right?
Yeah.
Or like you're at a table and someone's just like, so I was just... And you're like, get the...
Yeah, I just got to pick up this call. My boyfriend's FaceTiming me. Like, go do that in private. Go find a closet somewhere. And do that.
Find a panic room and do that. I don't want to be here.
Lock yourself in there.
Yeah, and like turn on your car exhaust while you're at it. It's so annoying.
We're
and
rude. So negative.
Mm-hmm.
Are you Saturday. Jewish?
No.
See, I'm not either. I feel like just a moody Jew. Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, ugh, everything's hard.
See,
and
that's
annoying.
That's why I love to get out of here. Like today, for you guys listening, it is like the most beautiful day. It's like Rachel's place is like this cute little bungalow hideaway. There's all these like greenery. There's like pink umbrellas. There's a pool. It's like a perfect little nook hideaway.
It's like a poor man's Beverly Hills hotel.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. Like there's definitely been like cocaine parties and like roller girl taking pictures around the pool.
Oh, totally. Oh, man. I wish I was there for that.
I know.
I mean, I don't do cocaine.
But like here we are just like.
Yeah, we're just like.
Stupid people FaceTiming.
It's more fun to be like that.
I know.
I enjoy it. Yeah. Okay. So I want to ask you a few questions about you.
Oh, God.
And your career.
I'm in the hot seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did you get into comedy? Like, how did you decide you wanted to start doing it? Were you funny as a kid?
As a kid. I was definitely like I was most humorous in my class every like year. We had a thing in Texas.
They did a vote every year?
We did like superlatives, you know, like, like at the end of the year, it'd be like, most likely to, you know, be president or most likely to succeed and humor, most funny.
We only did that like twice. It was like eighth grade yearbook and then maybe high school. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, maybe that's why I hate everything. Anyways.
No, but I grew up in Texas and I was always like the class clown and I was in theater and we did a thing in Texas where we like competed. Like theater arts was kind of like a sport where we did like, it was kind of like speech and debate.
I feel like in Texas, they take everything very competitive.
Very competitive. Yeah.
So it's not just football. It's everything.
It's everything. There was like, cheerleading and debate and storytelling and improv. And it was like a thing. And like different schools competed against each other you would get like places, you know, fourth, fifth, honorable mention, you'd get first. And then if you got better than first, you got plaques, like little wooden plaques that said, and so that's all I wanted. I was like, I do not care about ribbons. I want plaques. And I made sure, like, I entered in as many fields of competition as I could. And like one year I like just swept and had like 12 plaques. It was just
amazing.
It was crazy. And like my parents were very supportive.
That would
of
be
it.
Like the highlight of my life. I wouldn't need to do anything else after that.
Right. This was like sixth grade. I was like, I'm done.
I peaked.
Yes, I peaked. I'm done. And then, so that kind of helped me get into getting in front of people and telling stories and making people laugh. And I loved it. And people were always like, you should do stand-up. And I was like,
Like, at what age was that?
This was like, I remember like eighth grade. I remember people were like, you're like the young Jim Carrey. And like, that was like
such
a cool thing.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So it was like a nice thing. Cause he's like definitely one of my favorites of all time. But, I was like, you can't be a stand-up. You have to be like an actor. So like, I went through like acting school and all that and then moved out here, but not to pursue acting. I was just like done with Texas. I was like, okay, I've done this.
Oh, so you just moved here just because?
Yeah, I was like, I want to live in LA with the beach and the weather and the fun and with the attractive people. and so, yeah. And then I remember like...
How old were you when you moved here?
I was 22. Yeah, I was 20. Yeah, 22.
That's about the age I moved here. I was 21, but
22. And then... So, yeah, I was, like, kind of just figuring it out for a couple of years. And then, like, the recession hit, and I was, like, waiting tables and losing my job. I remember, like, just jobs were just because people couldn't pay anyone.
Yeah.
So people were like, oh, this new club in Hollywood's opening up. And we're like, yeah, here's the grand opening. And then, like, 2 days later, we'd go to work, and the doors were locked.
I mean,
and
I still feel like that happens with clubs. Just
course. It's the worst. Yeah. And I feel like it's such a... rite of passage to like go through that.
Yeah.
Cause it's so funny. Cause you're like, this town is such a town full of rejection. And I know people say that all the time, but like,
it's a real
thing where like, you're just, like, when people just look at you, you could like, I mean, when you look at a baby and the baby's like, no, and you're like, oh, okay.
Children's judgment is the worst because it's judgment. The most honest.
Yeah.
Like, they're really cutting to your core.
Like, hi, how are you? And they're like, eh. And you're like, all right, well.
My face? Is that that bad?
So I'll just wait. Call me sometime. So I was like losing my job. Like I couldn't eat. I remember like I was eating at one point. I was eating like hard boiled eggs. I remember like.
I still eat eggs, though, as like a really cheap thing to do.
It's
when
great.
When you want to.
But I mean, like, you don't buy like a carton of eggs and like you have your Monday egg, your Tuesday egg, your Wednesday egg.
But you were probably really skinny. You know what's been keeping me in shape is HelloFresh. It's the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking more fun so you can focus on the whole experience, not just the final plate. They create new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks just short on time. They source the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed so there's no food waste. HelloFresh employs 2 full-time registered dietitians on staff who review each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced. HelloFresh delivers the food right to your doorstep in a recyclable insulated box for free. So if you get off work late, it will be there and it will be just fine. And they're now offering light spring meals, and they've also introduced a breakfast option, and it's for less than $10 a meal. You can't do that at a grocery store. I always go to the grocery store, spend way too much money, and then have a bunch of food waste, and it's never as healthy. And I have a special offer for my listeners. For $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, you visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code BEHERE30. That's for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh deliveries. Visit HelloFresh.com and enter promo code BEHERE30. That is such a good deal, guys. You have to do it.
I know. It kept me really
skinny
thin.
Now,
like, thank you. So I remember watching on television, there was like a comedy show. And I remember like watching it and was just like, it kind of just clicked.
Mm-hmm. Like a stand-up special or like a sitcom?
It was a show on, it was like a Logo comedy special.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you know what Logo is.
Of course,
yeah.
I do.
It's where RuPaul's Drag Race used to be until they were like, you know what?
We're better than this.
Let's go to VH1. So I remember watching.
Who was on the special? Do you remember?
It was a friend of mine who now works for Ellen. His name's Daniel Leary. I think he was on it, and I'm trying to remember. I can't remember who else, but I remember watching it just being like, oh my God, I could totally do this. Because mm-hmm. I was kind of like at my wit's end where it was just like, you know what? My whole life people were telling me to do this, mm-hmm. and what have I got to lose?
So you weren't pursuing acting at all. You were just like,
living out here. I was just getting screwed over and like, you know, false promises and, you know, quote, agents who are going to help me and, you know, then nothing happens. And so it was just kind of like at my wit's end, was just like, you know what? Fuck it. And I got online. I actually like got on Facebook because I knew there was a guy out here who books a comedy show in Silver Lake at Akbar.
Mm-hmm.
And his name's Bruce. And I actually like hit him up and was just like, hey, you know what? I just kind of want to like try this out and see. And he's like, okay, cool. You got 6 minutes. And I was like,
that was so nice of him.
I know. But I was like, oh, wow. I just did that. And I was like, oh, well, I got 6 minutes. Okay, let's do it.
Did you write a 6-minute set, or did you just wing it?
No, I wrote it out.
Whoa.
I was like, what am I going to talk about? And it was so bad, but good. It was good. Yeah. It was good.
Everyone's
bad.
First time is bad.
Like if I saw myself.
But you, well, it's bad, but you think it's really good because you get a few laughs. And so you're like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. I knew it was good though, but it was just like, it was so green, like so green. And had some friends come and see me, and my best friend Emerson to this day, I remember he was on a date. It was his first date with his boyfriend at the time. He was like, don't fucking embarrass me. And I was like, I know, I'm sorry. But then it was like, I remember getting off the stage, and like that was like the first time that I was like, this feels good. You know what I mean? I was like, this is what I'm missing.
That's exactly what stand-up was for me. Like, it was like so many no's trying to just be an actor and so much like just waiting around. And then I finally did stand-up. I was like, oh, this is what makes me happy. This is where I'm meant to be. Like, it's just like a feeling that I got. Like,
it's a weird like joy.
Yeah.
Like it's, I kind of felt like the Grinch at the end of the Grinch. Like the heart grew 3 times and I was like, oh, wow. Like it was like a reminder of like, this is me.
Yeah.
You know?
And you found your home and yeah.
Yeah. And so then it was like I kind of skipped over the whole open mic scene, which I kind of like.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but it went by really, really fast because I started doing like these monthly shows, you know, if somebody had a once a month spot, they would put me on it.
Uh-huh.
And then so that set that I did.
So did you just network really quickly?
No, like there was a show I did that was in October, that show. And then I did a November show, a December show, maybe like a couple in January.
Mm-hmm.
People were just like, oh, come do my show. I have a monthly show. And I'm like, all right, cool. So then.
Did you ever do like the Bringer show circuit?
Yeah, I did do that. Yeah. And that's actually where I'm getting, where I was getting to, because Tammy Jo Dearen, who has, she's just been great. Like, I kind of owe everything to her.
Really? Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because she used to have a show over at El Cid.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her just, like, giving me, like, spots whenever she had any available. And I did the belly room a couple times, like, you know, those were like bringer shows, whatever, at the Comedy Store. And that's where I was like, oh, wow, this is like the coolest thing.
I guess I should explain to my listeners what a bringer show is. That's basically where you, they'll give you a spot on the show, but they're like, you can't perform unless you bring five people or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember there was like a couple where I was like, you know, I tried really hard and I didn't. And sometimes they'll be like, well, you're not performing that, you know. But no, it was like I got four, but I couldn't get five. They're like, oh, it's okay, whatever.
Yeah. It's not that strict.
Right.
It's, actually, some people are.
Some people are monsters.
Yeah.
So then Tammy Jo was doing a show, and there's a comedian named Kathy Lewis who used to run a show in the main room at the Comedy Store. She was like, and she has this really funny voice. She was like, oh, she has to talk like this.
I know she is, actually.
And she was like, come do my show in June in the main room. I'd love to have you. It was a Friday night. I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store in the main room. Oh, my God, that's so awesome. And because I remember like going by and being like, God, you know, one day I'm going to have my name on that wall. And it's going to be awesome.
And you do now.
And I do now. But I remember Michael Jackson died that Thursday.
Uh-huh.
So it was like June 25th, 2009. And I mean, the whole country, the whole world was like, what? And I remember being like, oh, that sucks, but come to my show tomorrow night. Come on.
You made like a Michael Jackson meme.
I know, right? That was before memes.
Yeah.
2009. And I remember like I had a whole bunch of people come, and there was like 16 people on the lineup, and we're all stuck in the green room in the back before the main room started. And I was like 16th. I remember being like near the end of the show. But all of a sudden there was like this like weird little bustling going on in the green room. And Tammy Jo was like, Justin's going third. So I was like, oh, you know,
like,
I was like, oh,
bye, bitches.
I know. I was like, I'm going third. Bye. I was like, I brought people here. So I did my 6 minutes on stage. I had some friends in the audience come, and I sat down in the audience. And that's when Tammy Jo grabs me, and she's like, get up now. And I'm like, what? No, I'm sitting with my friends. I'm fine. She's like, get up. Like, angry lesbian, just like staring at me.
That's terrifying.
Like, yeah. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? Like, I thought it was, she's like, Mitzi Shore just passed you as a paid regular. And I was like, what?
Is that really how that happened? Mm-hmm. That is so cool.
And so I got up and I was like, I didn't even know what that meant.
What the actual fuck? That is such a cool story.
Yeah. So I didn't, I didn't know who Mitzi Shore was. I didn't know what a paid regular was. I was just doing my job. And so she grabs me, she takes me up to the OR steps where the ticket booth is, and Tommy, the old booker, was there, and he was like this prophet who knew everything about the store and everything about Mitzi and everything. He was like, your life has just changed. He didn't even sound like that. I just made him sound like a wizard, because he was a wizard at the time. He's like, well, everything, that's how he sounds. He was like, well.
He kind of looks like Tom Petty. If
you a little bit, yeah, absolutely. He was like, Mitzi Shore just passed you, and she passed, you know, Jim Carrey and David Letterman and Jay Leno, and you know,
Jim Carrey comes full circle for you.
Yeah, it was weird. And so I remember just being like, okay, cool. And I remember like the thing I love about the Comedy Store is that every now and then you'll have these like weird magical nights where everyone's there, like everyone's in town, whether you're working in New York or LA or you're on the road, there's always this weird like mass bringing together of everybody once in a while, where you all just kind of catch up and just laugh and just, you know, what's been going on. And it's, you just realize that we're all like a family.
Yeah.
And I just remember everyone coming up to me and being like, who are you? Where the hell did you come from? Like, what's your story? Like, oh my God, Mitzi just passed this guy. And like, people were like running out to like meet me and stuff. And I was just like,
that's insane.
And then I remember people like right off the bat were like, but you're gay. And I'm like, I know, it's so gross.
Well, wait, and did Mitzi not normally like gay people?
Well, that's no. It was just, I think that's what it kind of was, because like
maybe were you like the first gay comic to get passed?
Well,
ever?
I think so. That's like out, who wasn't
really
like
fucking cool,
living in darkness and shadows.
I have never heard a story like that about the store where it was like you didn't even, because most people, for my listeners, most people that kind of hang around, most comics that hang around the Comedy Store and are performing there, they know what the whole deal is before they're hanging out there. Like, you were just doing a show.
Yeah.
Just doing your thing.
It literally was like a strike of lightning. Like, she had come down from the mountain that night, and like, I haven't seen her. I mean, we did like the 40th anniversary thing, and they had me do like a spot for like representing the 2000s or whatever. And that was the first time I met her. And I grabbed her hand and I was like, hey, thank you so much. Like, this is like a big deal. And she's kind of like, she was out of it. But like, she grabbed. She has all of it. But she grabbed my hand and like looked me in the eyes and just squeezed my hand. And that was just kind of like a cool, like,
that is so
like,
cool.
I will not let you down. You know what I mean?
Aww.
But at the same time, here's the double-edged sword of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I got passed as a paid regular. Like, I'd only been doing stand-up from October to June.
That's so fucking crazy.
That's it. And so I was a paid regular.
I've been doing stand-up for like 5 years.
Exactly.
Not a paid regular.
A lot of these people had been like 10 years. Yeah. You know, sometimes it took them 10 years. So there's a lot of animosity. There was
I don't have animosity.
No, yeah. But I mean, like, from the guys, like, being like, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because their egos got checked and they were like, what, this gay guy came in here and fucking.
Because there are a lot of people, for my listeners. So, and also what a paid regular means is the Comedy Store is the most famous comedy club, I think, in the world, right?
Yeah. Watch I'm Dying up here on Showtime, June 4th.
Are you in it?
No, but I will be one day.
Oh, I would love to. Oh, my God. We'll have a side talk about that.
Jim Carrey's the EP. Jim Carrey. I'm ready for season two. I would love to
play. We've given you three plugs now, Jim.
Yeah.
Put us on it.
And I would love to play Jim J. Bullock. That would be my character.
Did you read the book?
Oh, absolutely.
It was
incredible.
It's my Bible. But I heard that the book is not, or the movie, or the TV show is not really about, like.
It's not supposed to be the Comedy Store.
Oh, okay.
But it's not supposed to be the Comedy Store. Like, if you look at the preview, like Goldie's, that's the back lot of the Comedy Store.
It's hilarious.
It's totally
But someone said that the book is not actually, but the storyline of the TV show is not really like the book.
No, they had to change some stuff around. They had to change
but it's
names
kind
and
of
stuff.
Like it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
what
that
I've heard
makes me happy.
From some of the guys. They were just like, yeah, we're not playing someone, but we're it's based off of the character.
You guys should read that book. It's I mean, even if you're
so
not a
good
stand-up, it's like the coolest book ever.
It's just a cool time.
Yeah. Anyway, so what a paid regular means at the Comedy Store is that, because you can, I can still perform there even though I'm not a paid regular, but it's kind of just a rite of passage, and also just means, what does it technically mean?
It's pretty much like, it's kind of
like an honor.
It's an honor. It's like a status kind of a thing. It's like you're, you know, you've been handpicked to kind of represent the store.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it has such a reputation, and everybody who's been on those lineups. I mean, that's what's kind of crazy is like never in a million years would I be like, oh, I'm performing with, you know, Louis C.K. will pop up one night or, you know, and I'm sharing the stage with him, or like Sarah Silverman's there and like rubbing elbows with Joe Rogan and, you know, Anthony Jeselnik, Jeff Ross, Natasha Leggero, you know, and
but
and
that
growing
can happen not being a paid regular though, too.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, I think it's just kind of like that stamp of approval.
Yeah. I think that's what it is.
It's a stamp of approval. Like, oh,
and it's just
that
you're
something.
Now you're a part of history because your name's on the wall and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's,
well, yeah. And I feel like I think I'm. Yeah, I'm the last one that she picked.
That's really cool.
You know, now it's kind of like you kind of pay your dues and you showcase now, and and that's how it used to be.
Yeah,
you know.
So his story is pretty rare. Like,
it's very rare.
Very rare. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people who, I mean, Justin was, you were chosen just because you were straight up funny.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people where it's sort of like they hang around the store for a long time. Like, that's kind of like you have to like earn it.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to just be there. Like, and when I say hang out, I'm not saying they're actually even performing. They're just hanging out at the Comedy Store. And then eventually they get the chance to like showcase and then they get passed. Like Justin's story is very rare.
It's very old school. It's an old school story. I mean, now it's kind of like how many TV shows have you been on? How many you used to be an actor. Like here, you want to stand up now. You know, it's kind of lost that nostalgia a little bit, but you know, it's still in that building for sure.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, the Comedy Store has a lot of magic in it. Yeah. It's a very cool place.
A lot of darkness. It's a scary place.
Well, it's also very haunted.
It's very, very haunted.
Yeah. It used to be the old Ciro's. Mm-hmm. Ciro's? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like a club back in the 40s, maybe? Mm-hmm. And it was...
late 30s and 40s?
Yeah. And it was run by the mafia, and they would kill a lot of people there, and they were doing like back alley abortions in the mm-hmm. basement and stuff. Like, it has a lot of crazy history.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun during Halloween. I love it.
Yeah. Have you ever had a haunted experience there?
I have. I've had...
What?
I mean, the big one...
I'm so jealous. I want one.
Oh, yeah.
I always, like, hope... Whenever I go into the bathroom in the main room, because it's just... No one's ever in there.
Yeah.
I'm always just, like, hoping, like, something's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty crazy, because I remember the one that really sticks out... Actually, there's two of them, but this one's way more exciting.
Yes, I love those kind of stories.
We were all in the... It was, like, late night, one night. This was maybe, like, 4 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, maybe. Yeah. We were all in the green room, in the main room in the back. We're all just smoking weed and being stupid. And we all, everyone left. And I was like, well, I'm going to use the restroom real quick and then mm-hmm. I'll be right back and I'll meet you guys out front. So everybody had taken off. And so like it's pitch black in the main room, mm-hmm. but like with that weird floodlight still on.
Yeah.
And, I remember walking off the main room stage and I was walking out the door to go out to the hallway that leads out to the parking lot, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm walking and I look over because something just tells me to like look over, and I look over and there's this man sitting in, I know it's gross.
So cool.
There's a man sitting there and he has a gray suit on and he's very, very broad shouldered and he's wearing a gray bowler hat. And it's almost like there's a light behind him. Because it's kind of like silhouetting,
uh-huh.
but I could pick out the colors, but there was no face. Like it was just this like black, like almost like a shadow. Ooh, I'm getting like goosebumps.
Oh my God.
And I looked over and I thought it was like somebody playing a joke on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, hey, very funny guys. And like the thing's just like staring back at me. And all of a sudden, like my body was just kind of like, get the fuck out of here. You know?
Yeah.
And I just looked and I was like, okay, that's not normal. And I just ran down the hallway and I immediately went up to the piano player, Jeff Scott, who uh-huh. like knows everything about that building. And if you want to like know more about the history of the Comedy Store, like follow Jeff Scott Entertainer, I think, on Facebook.
I should have him on my podcast. Oh, now I want to hear about
1,000%. 1,000%. He's so like knows everything. He's one of my best friends at that place because he's just such a like historian. He's so great. And I ran up to him and I was like, I think I saw a ghost. Oh God, I think I shit my pants too. And he was like, what would he look like? And I told him, and he was like, oh yeah, that's Gus. And I was like, I was like, what? He goes, yeah, he used to be one of the bouncers here at the Comedy Store, and he I think he got shot. They like killed him or something. And I was just like, oh my God, that was crazy. He's like, yeah. He's like, welcome to the Comedy Store. I'm like, ha, 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 ha.
And he's not afraid by it at all?
No. There were way more. There were way more. And then they had like a paranormal team come in there and like exorcise the demons.
Well, I don't want them to, because I want to see something.
Some of them were weird. You have to check out the, remember Unsolved Mysteries?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they did an Unsolved Mysteries about the Comedy Store. Yeah. And I don't know if like,
I think I've seen one haunted thing about the Comedy Store. Yeah. They've done a few, but I don't know if it was Unsolved Mysteries.
It was Unsolved Mysteries. This is the one where it was like back in the 80s. And they're like, well, when they had tablecloths and ashtrays,
uh-huh.
which is just gross to think about. But like they would like turn the corner and they'd come back and like all the tablecloths were like all folded up again and everything. And I'm like, really?
So weird.
So I don't know if I believe that or not.
I think that though... I've heard that like a lot of the spirits in the Comedy Store though are kind of like evil ones. Like it's not like a good energy though. They're like the ghosts there are like a lot of bad stuff happened.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Maybe it's just a lot of failed careers.
I think
don't
that's
know.
What it is too. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's a lot of like, I mean, you're dealing with like murdered mobsters and
yeah.
like.
Well, know, and Steve.
Steve Lubetkin, who's in I'm Dying Up Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who jumped off the Andaz Hotel, which mm-hmm. is next to the Comedy Store.
It used to be the Hilton Continental Hotel. Yeah.
The Hyatt. No, I thought it was the Hyatt House.
Hyatt.
It was a famous rock and roll place.
Mm-hmm.
Jumped off the top with a note in his pocket because there was a whole... You guys got to read the book. But there was a whole riot
going on. I'm so proud of you knowing your history. Yeah.
There was a whole strike going on about what uh-huh. the comedians were getting paid. And he jumped off... basically onto the Comedy Store to kill himself and to kill himself, which is sad. And to prove a point. And the note in his pocket was basically like, I just want peace for everyone. Oh, it was so sad.
Well, he was also on like crazy LSD because he was...
Oh, I thought he just went crazy.
No. Well, it was a little bit of crazy, and it was also like his friends were... His friends were getting, like, booking things. Like, he was really good friends with Richard Lewis.
Yeah.
And...
That part was really sad because he was always, like, the one trying the hardest.
Yeah.
Like, and he wrote that movie or that whatever, and that didn't work. Nothing he did worked.
And then
worked.
The strike happened, and then, like, Mitzi was outside while everyone was picketing, and she was like, I'm going to ban whoever, like, crosses that line and bans, like, mm-hmm. banned for life or whatever. And he just happened to, like... wasn't paying attention and like walked over the line or something. And she saw him and was like, you're banned forever. And
I don't remember that part. That was so sad.
And that's where like the downward spiral. And then he was like, but I'm making this movie and this movie's going to happen. And it never happened. And he just started taking drugs and seeing shit in the carpets and like,
yeah.
And then, but that's the sad thing is, and it's sad, but funny because he was like, I'm going to make a statement and throw myself off the roof onto the Comedy Store. But he jumped off and missed and hit that pole on the ramp. And he didn't really make it to the Comedy Store. But still horrifying.
Well, it's still close.
It's close. He was close. But so was the rest of his career. You know what I mean? It's like
so sad.
But like that's what's kind of crazy is like Mitzi was there. And it was during like the OR show. Because I was like, I couldn't even imagine. You know, but
that was a crazy time.
Well, we've seen shit too now, you know, with.
Were you there when that guy got shot?
Yeah.
Were you on the patio?
I wasn't on the patio. I was judging the roast battle.
Oh, my God.
It was me and Jeff Ross and Anthony Jeselnik, and we heard it, and we were like, what was that? And I remember they ran upstairs, and they were just kind of like, so we're just going to keep everyone in here. And then I remember Jeff being like, what? It's not like somebody was shot. And then it was like, actually, somebody was shot. And we were like, what?
There was nothing that was like linked to the store or anything that was it was just a random.
It was a hit. It was a total hit.
Ugh, it's so scary. Yeah. Okay. Back to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, it was a hit. Yeah. More about me.
More about me.
Yeah.
So did your career basically, do you feel like it changed after that night when you were passed? I mean, I know everything in entertainment is kind of incremental.
There was definitely like a buzz, like, who is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even know who this guy was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was still brand new.
You hadn't even been doing it that long. That's so crazy.
And I didn't know, like, what I was supposed to be talking about. And I didn't know my voice yet, really. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually remember telling Tommy, being like, so do I have to do this, like, every... night now? Like, he's like, this is your, he's like, yes. I was like,
you're,
oh,
like,
this is
like, do you want a job?
You know what I mean? Well,
yeah,
because I was so used to doing like once a month spots.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I have to call in every week and put in my avails.
Did you get a lot of spots right away?
No, I got like the early spots, like right before Argus. I remember getting like the 9 o'clock spot before To Bring Him On.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting...
He was a crazy part of that book, by the way. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, he's still around. But, like, I got... Then I started getting, like, the really crazy late spots. And that's usually what happens when you get past. You get, like, the 12:45s, the 1:15s, the 1:30s, which is just awful.
Yeah.
But it makes you grow because you're like, I have to entertain 5 drunk people who are, like, insane savages right now. But then it definitely tests you with like drinking and then, you know, it how not to perform on stage and, you know, it dealing with getting bumped, you know, it's like, oh, I've got like a 11:45 spot. Oh, but so-and-so is popping in.
Yeah.
So you're bumped now to 1:15, you know, and you're having to stick around. And yeah, so, I mean, it was definitely like a lot of people. I remember the Improv, the Laugh Factory, they were kind of like, oh, who's this guy? And they passed me over there too. And, you know, I had meetings with managers and agents and, but of course that was not like, you know, they were like, oh, he's really new. They were like, oh, let's let him grow a little bit.
I don't think any manager or agent is ever life changing though. Like,
no,
I think like
not.
When you, it's like, you still have to do most of the work yourself.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Absolutely.
And they have so many clients. It's like, they don't even...
No.
They don't even... Half the time, they don't even know what you do.
No, exactly. But I've had... I mean, I feel like my name's out there enough now where people are... I mean, still, I've been doing this for like 9... Yeah, like almost 10 years. Well, what's the year?
It's 2017. So if that was 2009.
Yeah. So almost 10 years now. Where, I mean, that's usually what they say is like, oh, it takes about 10 years to like get it. So if you're like dedicated and you're willing to stick it out for 10 years, go for it.
Yeah.
And so like, I feel like now, like if you said like, oh, Justin Martineau, people are like, oh yeah, 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 yeah. Like
everyone knows who you are.
Yeah. In LA, you know, but like, it's definitely like, you
I think
you,
in many places.
In many places. Yeah.
You have know? Like, you have a cult following. You don't know that. I everyone think
I,
loves you.
I think I do have a cult following.
Yeah. Really? I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people that like are like obsessed with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think I had you on my podcast?
That's true. I just thought we were just going to like put on headphones. This isn't even like being taped.
I don't have regular people on here.
We're just sitting in your living room just talking into microphones. That's all we're doing. This isn't even going anywhere. No, but it is. That's a cool feeling because it's like, oh, okay, yeah, like I'm doing something. Because, I mean, this can make you go batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Like there have been moments where I've, honestly, not to sound sad or, you know, self-inflicting, but I have thought about like, oh, I totally get Steve Lubetkin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah.
Well, it's a lot of, it's, it, most the reason why a lot of people don't do this, well, A, you have to be funny, but B, is most people can't handle the rejection over and over and like just the like shitty moments of doing like a 130 spot to people, you know, and just most people can't handle that. You have to have really thick skin.
You have to have a really, really thick skin and an elastic heart.
I heard someone, maybe it was, well, there's my Larry Miller quote, but I think it was maybe Larry Miller on Barry Katz's podcast. He says that on Barry Katz's podcast, but I think it was him that said this thing before, because Barry Katz always says, like, he asks the comics, like, what advice would you give for someone who wanted to move here and do this? And his first thing was, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Don't do it. Have you heard that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
That's
don't
what
do
I
it.
Tell people.
Yeah. Don't do it, because you really have to, really have to love it.
I have a lot of, I've had a lot of people who are like, do you have any advice? Like, what should I do? Like, what would, you know, I'm really thinking about moving out here. And it's that old quote where, or that old saying where it's just like, don't think, do it.
Yeah.
Like there's so many, I really, you know,
and you
I
have
really
to have that feeling like
and,
how we were saying we had that feeling when we started doing stand-up of just like it has to feel right in your gut and your like, otherwise you're just sort of, cause when I was just pursuing acting, I was just sort of haphazardly pursuing something that I didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, because when you're pursuing that, it's not like you can do it every night.
Yeah.
Or
I'd rather
day.
Be funny and get on stage and perform like that. I mean, I do not miss like that, you know, casting green room where everyone's, you know, and I back to La La Land when she goes in and everyone's like the redhead and they'll have their lines. And I mean, it's just so gross.
It's soul crushing.
It's soul crushing. Like, yeah.
Like, why am I sitting here?
Yeah. Ugh.
I mean, stand-up can be too, but it's
absolutely.
But it is taking something into your own hands. You're not just waiting for someone to say yes.
Yeah, but it's also nice to like see your fellow comics and your friends like getting up there and seeing them grow as a person and like what's going on in their lives and stuff like that. So that to me is really.
And comics are just the coolest people to hang out with.
Yeah, they're crazy.
The crazy. The craziest.
They're crazy. Yeah, they're crazy. But I mean, yeah, it's like especially. Today's times, it's like you gotta. I mean, the world wants to laugh.
Yeah.
And the world wants to fight. Everyone's so angry.
Oh, God. Well, we're angry too. We were just.
But I mean, like.
No, I'm just moody.
We're not physical.
Yeah, no. I just don't like things.
Like, I got on the plane to Texas and I was like, I swear to God, if somebody tries to drag me off this plane or, like, fight me, I'm like, because that's. I'm afraid of, like, flying now because I'm afraid someone's just gonna be like, America, you know, and I'm like, I had a guy at my show. Thank God my brother was there. My brother came up and saw me from San Antonio and he's like ex-military or army. Yeah. Big dude, tatted sleeves. And then there's me like, hello.
You're a big guy though.
I'm big, but I'm like, I'm not going to get physical.
Yeah.
But it was so interesting. I had this girl come up to me and she was like real cute. And she was like, I thought you were really, really, really funny. And, you know, can I follow you on Snapchat? And I was like, yeah, sure, for sure. And so I pulled up my Snapchat and I said, well, what's your name? She's like, I'm just going to take a picture of it. And I didn't even like, oh, you can do that. Cause you can just take a picture of my handle and then you can follow me later or whatever. So she's taking the picture of my Snapchat and her like drunk Texas boyfriend comes over, just this dumb thick fuck.
Oh, God.
And he's just like, no, you don't need to take a picture with him. You don't need to take a picture. And he knocked my phone out of my hand. And my brother was like, hey, like, thank God he was there. He's like, hey, dude, what's your problem? He's like, what's my problem? She don't need to be, he don't need to be taking no pictures with my girl. And I'm like, did you completely miss my set? Like, do you not know what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not hitting on your girlfriend.
And oh, then that poor girl is probably getting smacked
around. Oh, that's what I was worried about. Because I looked at her and she's just mortified. And then he said those four infamous words, wanna take this outside.
Okay.
And I was like, oh shit, you really did just say
that.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And my brother's like, he's like, hey, what, you're gonna beat up my brother? You're gonna beat up the comic you just saw perform? Like, you came here to laugh and then fight somebody?
Not a fucking loser.
And then my brother's like, I'll take it outside with you. And I'm like, no, my brother will, like, he will break your jaw with his bare hands. Like, crazy. But not, like, crazy. Good guy, but, like, don't
Well, yeah, fucking, but he's trained.
Exactly. And the guy, like, they just left. And I was like, oh, my. And I thought the guy was joking. Like, he's like, get out of here, you know. And then it was like, then he, like, slapped my phone out of my hand. And I was like, whoa, dude, like, are you okay? And the poor girl, I was like, are you all right? So they went outside and I just kind of told the staff, I was like, hey, just kind of check in on her. I just don't, you know,
because
that's a big deal. You know,
yeah, sounds terrifying.
Yeah. And finally,
more importantly, did you break your phone?
No, we're fine.
Okay,
we're totally fine.
Oh, God.
I had a good cover on it.
That would have been the worst.
And but I remember like her walking by, like she left him outside and I like grabbed her, or not grabbed her, but like I was just kind of like, are you okay? And she was just like, yeah, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, no, I need, are you okay? Like, he's not going to come and like hurt you. But I mean, just angry. And then my brother brother was just like, damn, that was crazy. And he goes, why do you think he got like that? I'm like, I'll tell you why. Because she came up to a funny guy who's attractive and like nice.
Uh-huh.
And she had a good time. And her boyfriend is dealing with demons. And he probably is like a closeted homo.
Probably.
Who hates himself and his life. And I'm talking to you if you're listening to this. I don't even know your name. But you're a piece of trash.
I'm going to make sure he listens to this.
I know. God, it was crazy.
I'm gonna tweet it everywhere.
People are nuts.
That is so crazy.
God.
Speaking of... Oh, God. This is a weird subject. Maybe I shouldn't bring it up. But speaking of like closeted homos... I've had two of my gay friends tell me... that like it was like an alarming amount of like their straight friends that they hooked up with when they were like younger or like in college and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And these guys are all like married and stuff.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
And that I was happens. Like, I did not know that happened that
it's
often.
Like a thing. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like sexuality.
I know, but it was just like surprising to me.
Yeah. I remember there was like, I was in school and there was a guy that.
But most girls don't know that. Most girls are just like,
there's
I don't
a
really
lot,
care,
there's a lot
like,
of married girls out there.
That, like, have no idea.
Have
like,
no idea that there has been a man's knuckle up their butt, their husband's butt.
So weird.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a thing. I mean, it's like I remember there was a guy who he was actually my bully or one of my bullies in high school. I didn't have a lot of.
Aww,
I didn't
you
have.
Get bullied?
I was like,
I'll stab him.
Verbally picked on, but it was something that like I just kind of.
You were winning all the plaques.
Yeah, I was just placking out.
Yeah.
Now I just black out. But it was like, it wasn't like I was shoved into lockers or anything like that. But I used my wit to like kind of clock him, you know.
Yeah.
But this guy, one of the guys, like ended up being gay, and I remember we kind of like reconnected at a show one time, and he's actually coming out here next week, and was like, let's hang out.
Oh. Would you ever date him?
No. Maybe.
Oh.
That would be kind of fun to have sex with your bully.
Yeah. Because he's your friend now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this comes out next week, so I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, please come back on here and tell the story.
Let us know. Did you fuck your bully? Did you fuck your bully? It does get better. But he was like, oh, yeah, there was this, you know, remember in high school, it was like this whole thing where, you know, all the guys on the football team, we all just like hung out in the locker room and just jerked off. I was like, what?
What?
What? And it like blew my mind. I was like, wait, all of you guys did?
All together at the same time?
Meanwhile, I'm like hanging out in the girls' locker room dressed up like a high school mascot.
Like, I was doing something wrong.
I know. I was like, I was hiding from you all, and you guys are just living out my porn fantasy without an invite?
That's just so mean.
That's a hate crime.
That's real bullying.
Yeah.
I didn't really care that he shoved you in a locker.
I know. I was like, and now they're all like married and go to church and shit. And
yeah. The wife's like, my husband's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure he is.
I just posted a picture on Facebook and our family is so happy.
Ugh. You know what I've noticed? When people post like couple-y photos or family stuff, I have a friend that does this where usually when she's fighting with her boyfriend, that's when she posts like a really like loving photo of them.
Oh, that's funny.
I think that most people like it's like they're trying
everything's
to like,
fine.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Everything's
yeah,
great.
Everything's we're really happy.
He's my rock.
Yeah.
And my shelter.
Rock.
Yeah.
God, I hate people. This is why I'm single though.
I know.
I'm just too.
My sister is, she has three kids. Well, she's pregnant with her fourth. And
what a blast.
She put up her what's it called? Sonogram picture. I was like, why do you have to put up a sonogram picture? But it's kind of funny because that baby is just like, that's like a studio apartment. Like, it is a comfortable gig. Like, it is like, it's the weirdest thing. Because usually, you know, they're all like in there and they're like bubblegum and like gross.
She's just chilling.
On its, you like, it's just laying on its back.
Oh, that kid's going to be cool.
Just like womb life. Hashtag womb life.
Yeah, he's going to be chill or chi or he.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of bizarre because it's just like, it looks like it's on a pool raft.
I wonder if you can, if they can tell like how a kid's like their demeanor is going to be by how chill they are in those photos.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to hang out with whoever that kid is.
I don't.
And I don't like kids.
I know. I don't like kids.
They're annoying. You will never adopt them?
No.
Never?
No.
Do you want to get married?
No. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe if like, you know, I don't know. Maybe. Just to get it. Like, have it.
It's kind of hard to be married to a comic, though, I think.
Well, I'm not going to marry a comic.
No,
Jesus.
I'm saying them with
you. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was like, I'm not marrying a comic. Yeah. No.
Have you ever dated anyone in the comedy scene?
No. No. Well, I had to think about that.
Oh, I feel like, but you've maybe hooked up with one?
No. Hold on. Not like in. No. 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 I have not.
No.
I had to think about it.
I've never dated a comic.
You've never?
Mm-mm.
No, I don't want to.
I've actually never even hooked up with a comic. Mm-mm. But I had a boyfriend for many years.
No. I have not.
I just don't want to like have to see them later and it's like, ugh.
Well, it's like
weird.
Such a thing. Yeah, there's a lot of people who do that. There's a lot of comics who do date comics.
It's very
and
incestual.
Like hook up with them and I'm just like, why are you doing this? Like,
yeah.
Because then they go tell their stupid boy guys, whatever, they're bro friends, and then the bro friends, and then the girlfriends, and then it's just this big, it's very, like, kind of
gross. I don't really ever want to, like, be sitting around with my female comic friends and be talking about, like, which, like, male comics I've hooked up with. Like, I'm all set on that, I think.
I just think they're all gross, too. Like, like what male comic would you hook up with if you had to?
If I was forced to?
If you were forced to, yes. Like, Broke Down Palace, Claire Danes.
I would probably choose, like, an old one.
Like Argus Hamilton.
Yeah,
yes.
God, no. Like, well, no, I'd want a successful one too. Right. I'm not gonna use my one on. Mm-hmm. Let's see, maybe like Jerry Seinfeld if he was single.
Oh, okay. So like old school.
Yeah, I'm not trying to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hook up with him. Just trying to even think of someone random. God. Jamar Neighbors.
Jamar Neighbors. God.
He's a nice guy.
He's a beast in the bed, I bet. Yeah.
All right. Should we wrap it up, I guess?
Yeah. Is there anything else you need to know?
I wanted to hear more about you, though, a little bit more.
What else you got on there?
Well, I didn't really write that much down. I was over. Oh, I do have one here.
Huh.
Is it hard being gay in the comedy world?
Yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
Just because it's like there's a standard behind it, especially because it was so taboo back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still...
What's this? What do you mean? What's the standard behind it?
Well, I mean, like the origins of stand-up, it was just definitely a straight white male world.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you had Carson and then you had Letterman and Leno. It was just this like bro mentality that still is around where everyone's
dude,
bro, I'm just crushing puss.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking, and I'm wrestling alligators and I'm watching UFC and fuck yeah.
It's so true. What are you, Joe Rogan there?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I didn't say any names, but, you know, that kind of mentality. And I love Joe, but I mean, like, there's a lot of the guys who, like, follow him and, you know, he has those, like, dude, bro, fucking, you know.
Brendan Schaub.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. That's one that I'm. He needs a good butt fuck. and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah. I know. But okay.
it is
yeah,
definitely,
it's a very male-dominated.
I can relate to female comedians.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hate being labeled as a gay comic. I'm mm-hmm. not. If you've seen me do stand-up, I barely even talk yeah. about it. Because there's way more interesting things to talk about.
I really
about.
Don't feel like you are labeled as a gay comic.
Well, it's...
I actually texted Jacqueline before you came over. I was like, is Justin actually out? like, I was like, am I allowed to talk about it? I was like, does he? Because I don't they really think of you like that.
Well, yeah, because I don't feel like you need to.
Yeah, I was like, am I allowed to, like, mention it? I don't know if he's, like, out in the industry.
Yeah, no, you just, like, ruin everything. I'm like, I've built everything up until now. No, it's a thing because it's, like, especially with, like, gay marriage and equality and, mm-hmm. you know, the HRC and all that kind of stuff. It's, like, we're just now getting... to be, like, mainstream.
Yeah.
But it's like I don't identify myself as, like, oh, I'm just this, like, gay comic. You know, rem jobs, am I right? You yeah. know, I'm not going to... And I hate hearing that from anybody, you yeah. know? It's just kind of like, okay, there's way more mm-hmm. things to talk about. But it is. A lot of people want that stereotypical gay guy mm-hmm. or that stereotypical lesbian mm-hmm. or it's very like, oh, we need, like, a ghetto black person yeah. we need, you know, the bad Asian driver. It's very like,
or like the female comic that talks about how slutty she is.
Yeah, oh my god, so, my yeah. vagina is so dry. Oh, my pussy, am I right, ladies?
There's
ladies,
there's really nothing I hate more.
And I just thought of, like, four of them yeah, in my head over, yeah. that I'm like, oh, that's all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god, when a guy comes on me, am I right? I mean, it's just so fucking tired and basic.
Yeah. And what I was just thinking, I mean, I hate that kind of humor, and I would hate, like, hearing a gay guy say, like, a rim job joke, whatever.
Right.
But, like, that we're not, that because, like, female comics and gay comics are, like, a smaller part of it, we're like, oh, they can't do that annoying thing that they do, but is there, like, one thing that, like, male comics do? You know, that we're like, oh, they shouldn't.
Oh, you mean laugh at themselves?
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Laugh at their own jokes on stage?
We're almost even being harder on ourselves and, like, on our little, like, subculture of...
Well, I feel like it's
even though I actually just straight up hate those kind of jokes too, but yeah.
I think it's like with straight comics too,
like, what is their annoying thing that they do all the time? So, yeah, besides laugh at themselves.
Bro.
Or like, I don't like... Yeah. Or like I get so many girls, that type of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it's that drives yeah. me crazy.
We're like, sure you do. You live in your mom's basement, like, and your shirt has a stain on the front of it. Like, no one's hooking yeah. up with you.
So I was hooking up with this girl from behind. It's like, I don't need details. Yeah. And no, you weren't.
And also, yeah, no, yeah. you weren't. That was a dream you had. Thank you for sharing that.
It does make me laugh. It's just kind of like this, like, so this pride of the jungle. I don't have, like, a clique that I run with
yeah.
in the scene. I'm kind of like, and I've always been that way. I've never yeah. been, like, subject to one group of people. Like, yeah. I was friends with the cheerleaders and the band and the mm-hmm. theater kids and the math geeks and mm-hmm. the, you know.
I was like that too, but I came from, like, a really small school, so yeah. we didn't really have groups.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess my brain, even in LA, is like, oh, I didn't know groups existed. I thought we're
yeah.
all friends.
Well, it's like cliques, you know? It's like, yeah. it's just so funny when, you know, I do see, like, oh, there's the clique and everyone's, like, around, like, a certain person and mm-hmm. they're all just, you know, their chests are out and they're just looking around like, yeah,
so
we're all here. We're with this guy, you know, and, you know, then these girls walk by and they're like, damn, yeah, I'd fuck that. I'm like, oh, would you?
You
would fuck that? You would let, and I want to grab the girl and be like, I want to, like, pull a Regina George, which is what my nickname is in at the store, the Regina George of comedy.
That's amazing.
Where it's like, oh, excuse me, would you let him fuck you? Oh, God, no. Yeah, you can go shave your back now.
Yeah.
Like, that's me. Like, I stand up for girls. I'm yeah, like, because really I get it. It's like this weird, like, weird harassment. And, like, you know, I'm tired of these, like, dogs just, like, treating girls bad. And, you know, it's the same thing, like, with guys. They're like, oh, so, like, would you fuck me if I was gay? I'm like, no.
Wait, do they seriously ask you that?
Oh, I've had guys
oh
who are
god,
like...
Oh my god, they need that much validation?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm the guy who's like, no, you're a four. I have goal. Like, I have standards. Like, I'm
disgusting.
Not just going to take anything. I'm not like a fucking hot dog being thrown down a hallway. Like, no, you're gross. And I will tell that to your face. How dare you?
Oh my god, I would love to know who has asked you that.
Oh, there's
you,
a lot of them.
I
god.
I won't make you name a name on here.
Trash.
Has anyone ever been, like, mean to you about being gay in the comedy world?
I've had to clock a few.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you actually gotten in a fight?
No. Oh. No, not a physical fight, but I've definitely been pushed, not mm-hmm. like physically, but like someone kind of, you know, you take it.
See, I think they're just jealous of how good looking you are.
That could be it,
you know
too.
What I mean? Your hair's not like Thanks. Thinning.
Exactly.
Tall, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's You're a not- lot. It's insecurity. I mean, that's part of comedy is being yeah. insecure, but.
Or just being dark.
Yeah. And they just feel like threatening because, you know, I'm the guy that like all the girls run to.
Yeah.
I've been used as bait before where it's been like, you know, I've been some of the comics like babysitter. Like, I'm going to go.
Wait, what do you mean? Oh, like the girl will.
Like, they'll bring their girlfriends and they'll be like, hey, Justin, can you like just, I'm about to go on stage. Just watch my girls while
oh,
I'm
going
to go
so
on stage.
Funny.
And then I'm like stuck with these girls while they're like in the back, like fooling around with somebody else, you know.
Wait, really?
Or like, you know, trying to hook up with it. Yeah.
What? That's insane.
And I'm like stuck on the patio like, all right, so what's up? Because they know I'm not going to like hook up with them or whatever.
But how do they trust you not to say anything?
Oh,
they're your friends,
I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. But there have been instances where I've just been like, oh my God, like, Carl, are you, what's wrong with you?
Wait, that's crazy to me. Now I'm never dating a comic. Like, they will literally have their girlfriend there mm-hmm. and have another girl.
Well, allegedly, there'll be like another girl in the back or they'll just like cruise around for, you know, like, oh, I'm pretending I'm alone, but my girlfriend's in the front or something like that. Yeah.
Or maybe they had another girl that they had invited that night and then the girlfriend pops in because they know where their boyfriend is because they know where they're performing. That's insane.
But there have been like instances where guys have said things to me that have been like, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't say that to my face ever again.
Really?
Yeah. And they've been like, oh no, I was just kidding. And I'm like, that's fine. But I'm just letting you know these are my boundaries.
Yeah.
And
you can't. That's good. You got to do that.
Yeah. Like, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, what a bitch. Justin's such a bitch. I'm like, no, I'm a person.
Yeah, who needs
to have boundaries. Take a joke. I'm like, I can take jokes, but when something's not funny, I'm going to let you know to your face.
Yeah, you're like, the most important part is that it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
I don't really care what you said, but
and
you just weren't
funny. I don't know you like that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing if you're my friend and we can make jokes, but like, we barely hang out.
Yeah.
So there have been times like that.
What's your ultimate career goal? Or where do you see your career going?
I would love to host a show for mm-hmm. sure. I would love to.
You
do
will.
Thanks. I'd love to do like some red carpet. I've led to do some like, you know, entertainment corresponding work and interview, mm-hmm. act, kind of like mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Be that person that like the Midwest can see on television and not be like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I thought they were all supposed to, you know, talk like balloons getting the air let out of them and, you know, wear suits made out of bubble gum and shit like that, you know?
Yeah. I'm like I feel like that's so the job that you're going to have, like doing fashion police, red carpet stuff. I mean, I already did that,
fashion
Well, not like, but you know what I mean? Like commentary type stuff.
Yeah. That's what I'd love. I'd love to do that.
Well, you did that one for The Bachelor.
Yes, that was fun.
Yeah.
I loved that.
Was it fun?
It was fun. I'm sad they're not doing one for The Bachelorette, which I'm just kind of like, I don't get that.
Well, I don't think they're doing, I don't think that the ABC Digital is around anymore, is it?
The what is?
ABC Digital or whatever. I don't think it's around anymore.
Oh, is it not? Oh, well, that makes sense.
Or something like, yeah, I think, maybe I should take that part out. I don't know.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I was like,
maybe
I don't
it's
know.
Not, I don't think it is. Maybe. Yeah. Because they all tried to do that and then it just kind of like fizzled out.
Huh? Yeah. Well, we'll find you one of those jobs.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, you're gonna it's gonna come to you.
Because I want this mug on television.
It's a good looking one.
Thanks.
Thank you for doing this.
Of course.
Tell my listeners where you're performing and also like where they can find you, like Instagram, Twitter, all that shit.
I'm on Instagram at Justin Martindale. It's all just one mm-hmm. Justin Martindale. On Twitter at Just Martindale. I need to get better at Twitter. I've like stopped doing Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Facebook, Justin Martindale. You can catch me. This comes out Thursday, you said? Mm-hmm. So you can catch me Friday and Saturday at the Comedy Store in La Jolla if you're in the San Diego area.
Guys, go there. I know I have listeners there because they came there when I was there.
They did?
Go see him.
Tell them to come. I'll get you guys tickets.
Him.
And then, oh God, what else?
Well, he's always at the Comedy Store.
I'm at the Comedy Store. But there was something else. I forgot.
He's also writing on a TV show we
writing
can't mention.
A show, yeah, we can't mention
because it's secret and it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's really it. Yeah. Oh, no, wait, that's what I want. And if you're in the LA area, on June 6th, come to my show. It's called Stand Up to the Streets. It's a show that...
Wait, are you doing it with them?
With Justine and Heidi. Yeah.
Oh God, it was so funny.
You should come.
I went last... Yeah. Well, June 6th, what? No, I'll be in New York.
Oh.
But I went to the last one. It's fucking hilarious.
It's so good. So yeah, I'm like the main judge. And then we get a comic, and then we have an actual dance person who's like... knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's two sets of comics and they battle it out with comedy at the beginning and then they have a team dance and then they do individual solo dances.
It's really hilarious. You guys should go check it out.
It's kind of becoming like one of the best shows in LA, so I'm kind of proud of it.
Yeah,
so,
it really is. Yeah. It's hilarious.
June 6th, Comedy Store. I think it's at 8 o'clock. We're right before the roast battle.
Okay.
So I think it's at 8. Yes, okay. I'm pretty
sure
it's at 8
o'clock. Dang it, I wish I could go.
Yeah.
That sucks. All right, well, you guys should go. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me. That was awesome.
I will talk to you guys later. Bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.